Welcome to the Humanist Union of Madison. To our monthly program this month, we have Ron Solomon and Ingrid Loss presenting their reflections on their experiences at the Reason Rally in Washington, D.C. last Saturday. And also, Ron was talking about the Lobby Day for Reason that the Secular Coalition for America put together. So let's welcome our speakers.
Yay. Do you want to go first, Ron?
Okay. The Reason Weekend was organized to help make visible the non-theists who comprise the vast majority of the 46 million so-called nuns in the United States. That is not N-U-N, like the Catholic nuns. It is the N-O-N-E-S, the nuns as in no religious preference. The vast majority of those are non-theists. According to the 2009 American Religious Identification Survey, there are 46 million of them, making them the third largest identified group in that survey after the Catholics and the Baptists, and more than Buddhists, Jews, Muslims, and Hindus combined. There's a lot of people in that group, and for a lot of reasons, of course, many of them have been either quiet or in the closet, partly because of family situations. Herb Silverman, the president of the Secular Coalition for America, responded to somebody in South Carolina where he lives, who said to him, "You're the only atheist I know." And Herb said, "No, I'm not the only atheist you know. I'm the only one who admits that he's an atheist." Because you can't identify atheists by any outward signs. And let me just say one other thing, and that is that the non-theists collectively cover a broad spectrum of people in the United States, from what are sometimes referred to as the religious humanists, like the Unitarian humanists, ethical culture, and the humanistic Jews, all the way through various brands of humanists, free thinkers, skeptics, and atheists, and that some of them are very, very outspoken, very, very angry, very, very in your face, and very, very convinced that religion is the source of all the ills of humanity, and that if we could just do away with religion, that would be the best thing. And some of us don't necessarily agree with that point of view, but as I like to say when I'm talking to folks like that, we should spend our time talking about the 95% of the things we agree on and not the 5% of the things we disagree on. So on Friday, the 23rd of March, last Friday, a week ago, which was a hot and sunny day in Washington, D.C., it was 85 degrees, somewhat humid. Was the second annual Lobby Day for Reason that was organized by the Secular Coalition for America, which is a coalition of 11 major national groups which represent the full spectrum of those non-theists that I was just talking about. Over 200 non-theists from across the country came for the Lobby Day. They had arranged for 156 visits with congressional staffers. I was the only one there from Wisconsin. There was supposed to be one other gentleman, but he was a no-show. So I wound up meeting with staff representatives of both senators and of my representative, Tammy Baldwin. The staffers knew in advance what we would be lobbying about. The two topics we were talking about were religious discrimination in healthcare and living as a non-theist in America. Nevertheless, the staffer that was assigned to me in Ron Johnson's office was not a policy analyst at all, but the office was counsel. I think they were sure that I was going to be arguing fine points about constitutional guarantees of separation of church and state and freedom of and from religion, and they wanted to have somebody knowledgeable to argue with me. The amazing thing to me is that the Republican Party in general has totally abandoned support for guarantees of separation of church and state and freedom of and from religion as it curries favor with the Christian right. But the Democratic Party has not appealed to secularism as a campaign strategy to position themselves opposite the Republicans in any way. And again, to quote Herb Silverman, the president of the Secular Coalition, these are not really liberal values or conservative values, they're American values. March 24th, Saturday, was the Reason Rally. It was totally contrasted with the day before. It was cold and wet, rained off and on all day, sometimes very heavily. And the most prevalent thing in the crowd of 20 to 25,000 people was not signs, but plastic ponchos that people were wearing of all different colors. There were, as I say, 20 to 25,000 people, many of them young, many of them people of color, many who were coming out for the first time as atheists.
Now, do you want her to show the pictures?
Yeah, you, oh, you want to start?
Take a moment to pick this up.
Ingrid, who is a professional photographer here, was there all day and took some awesome photographs, so you should count yourselves lucky to be able to see these great images from there. I will just say one more thing as an introductory remark to the day, Saturday. And that is, I was staying at the home of some friends from the Baltimore Ethical Society, but who live in Tacoma Park, a suburb outside D.C. And they had invited BES members to come park in their neighborhood and have coffee and bagels before heading down to the mall and the metro, since trying to drive into D.C. was a disastrous idea. So while I was standing on the metro platform in Tacoma, a group of six adults and two small children about 4 or 5 years old walked by. The woman in the group was wearing a t-shirt bearing the slogan, Nonprofit Organization. That's spelled P-R-O-P-H-E-T. So I walked up to her and asked her the obvious, were they going to the Reason Rally? Of course they were. We started chatting. It turned out they had come all the way from Atlanta for the rally. While talking to her husband, he showed me the hand-lettered signs they had made for the kids to carry. So I took a picture of the little girl. That was the greatest costume.
Yeah. In the
Ron, I'll switch to your images. They're in a separate folder yet, I'm sorry. He does have some images he shared with me, but I didn't, actually I wasn't able to combine everything this morning. I found it didn't want to sort images according to...
Well, I was going to mention, I took a picture of her on the subway, and there is a picture that will come up later, so you'll get to see what her sign says. And the one more thing is one of the men in that group, a father of an 8-year-old boy who had not come from Atlanta to the march, he was very intrigued to learn that there are communities like Unitarian congregations, ethical societies, and humanist Jewish societies that are organized like other religious communities, including providing moral education without indoctrination for children. The message of that kind of non-theistic humanism that I think most of us here represent was not obvious in this rally whatsoever. The messages were way over the top of, you know, we're atheists, we're not going to take it anymore, we're in your face, and I have lots of quotes, and we can just go through the pictures, we can mention who some of the folks are, and if you have any questions, we can probably stop and, between Ingrid and I, answer any of them. As you said, was Jessica Alquist, a high school student from Rhode Island, who sued her school over a prayer banner that was hanging in the auditorium. She got all kinds of, she won her case, of course, because it was a clear violation of separation of church and state.
She's a high school.
She had a Republican judge too, by the way.
High school sophomore. They had a fundraising campaign online between the American Humanist Association and Himant Mehta, who was one of the speakers you just saw a moment ago. And they got donations of $62,000 for a college scholarship for her. A state representative in Rhode Island called her an evil little thing.
I got some t-shirts.
And there were lots of t-shirts saying that, and she ended her remarks by saying, "You are all evil little things to me."
There was a rally outside of the religious people, by the way, so some of those pictures, you might see Bible quotes.
Oh, sure.
That's a different group.
Yeah, thanks.
That's Adam Savage, co-host of Mythbusters.
He's the winner of the Richard Russell lookalike contest.
Yeah.
That's Tim Minchin. Some of the religious commentators who blasted the Reason Rally picked up on Tim Minchin. One of his songs used the word MF, I'll just use that, about 50 times. And they were so morally outraged that we would have somebody up on the stage using the word MF, especially because some kids were in the audience. But of course, none of them said anything about the fact that his song is actually about child abuse and the covering up of priest pedophilia by the church. They didn't mention that. They just mentioned that he used the MF term. That's Taslima Nazrin from Bangladesh, who's been driven from her home and can't go back to Bangladesh because of things she's written that are critical of radical Islam. To give you an idea, you know, anybody in the United States who might be facing some difficulties living as an atheist, it pales into comparison to what she goes through as a humanist. Having come from a fundamentalist Islamic country.
Tim Minchin was he was on and off stage several times. He was kind of interspersed during parts of that. That's Fred Edwards.
Fred Edwards.
Those of you who...
Has he spoken here?
Has he spoken here? Oh, okay, yeah. I mean, I just know that, he came to Madison from United Coalition of Reason to start up MadCor, which is now sponsoring the atheist, or the Freethought. Yeah, that's the better way to refer to it.
Festival
that's coming up at the end of next month. So in any case, he was this
month. This month now.
This month, oh, yeah. Serious.
Today's April Fool's, no fooling.
It's flying by.
Yeah.
Do you need another cup of coffee?
Probably more than that.
Would you like
that? Oh, I've got one. Thank you. Fred Edwards, United Coalition of Reason, every speaker had. There were some speakers that were only allocated like 5 minutes. Others were allocated 10. Entertainers, comedians, musicians tended to get 15 to 20. They were very popular, very funny often. But yes, as Ron was saying, it's true. Some of the comedians especially, and Tim mentioned is kind of a cross between comedian and musician. He does both. And they swore a heck of a lot. It wasn't like terribly family friendly. On the other hand, I think it does kind of speak to the, anger people feel about certain issues that are confronted in this area.
There's one of the ponchos.
Yeah, and this gentleman is actually, he was pointed out by Fred, as being the one who made sure that the buses were funded regardless of how full they were. So he ponied up the money at the very end and said, even if we don't have enough money, I'll make up the difference. So that's why we zoomed in on him.
Jamie Kilstein.
Yeah, he was another one, very funny, but again, keeping profanities out of there was not a great concern.
By the way, that MF word is really rampant in the Bible because that's what they did.
Oh, here are some Westboro photos. So this was really interesting. I kept meaning to get over there and take pictures of them, and it was so busy, I mean, just speaker after speaker after speaker, it took me a while to actually...
What the hell does that mean?
What does that mean?
You know, you have to acknowledge, these people really are like over the edge. I mean, you know, normal Christians don't even identify with normal, with, you know, bell curve, you know, people who are mostly in the bell curve don't identify.
To paraphrase this message, it is chastity is its own punishment.
Don't forget to fear God.
You can't be good without God.
Let's see, there are a couple more pictures. But it was raining so hard at that point, I was just, I had to get in and there. It, out there and back, you know, and somehow this picture ended up in the middle. But it was just, it was really raining at that point. But I did have to take some time to make sure I got pictures of those folks.
Were these two groups physically separated by something or another to commingle?
No.
We were allowed to commingle, but I think that the Park Service was kind of making sure that they were out on the edge. I mean, they weren't part and parcel with the rally or anything like that.
Yeah. And that previous woman was Jamila Bay, who formerly was a producer on National Public Radio.
And Michael Shermer.
That's Michael Shermer, the founding publisher of Skeptic Magazine.
It's a good photo.
I've been listening. I've been listening to some of the speeches on the, well, whatever I was listening to that you did. Some wonderful stuff. It's fun to see the faces of the people that I've been listening to.
That's James Randi, by the way. Most of you might recognize him, the magician, and also skeptic, who's done a lot to show that, especially those people who put some kind of supernatural interpretation on magic. He shows that you can be a magician and do magic tricks without believing in the supernatural.
I just paused at this one because I was going to point out DJ Grothy. He's at the left there. He's president of the James Randi Educational Foundation right now. And he's actually going to be one of the presenters at the Free Thought Festival.
Is he the one
that's
going to be
this month?
He's on the far left.
Madison Skeptics on the 21st.
Yes. No, that's Tim Farwell.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And the other guy there is Paul Provenza. He was the master of ceremonies.
He was always coming back on stage between introducing people and saying, okay, and so I'm following this on Twitter, and then, you know, he was sharing some of the wittiest, you know, things people were saying on Twitter about the Reason Rally. So it was like a, you know, he always had his phone or iPhone.
He doesn't have a suit on. What's the matter?
Comedian.
He had a good quote that I'll read right here if you want. It's, we are here to celebrate our belief in reason, science, and the power of the human mind. We are here to say to elected politicians that there is a base for them to stand on, to stand up to the religious right.
Note the water all over the stage.
Yeah, it was very well
electrocuted. People up there were getting soaked.
Yeah, look at her hair.
I didn't seem to mind though.
Well, she's okay, but...
That's Indra Zuno.
Thank you. Or Indra?
Indra. Yeah,
yeah, and she gave her presentation entirely in Spanish.
Right.
Oh. I think that's Aaron Ra. He was sitting in the VIP area. So, you know, some of these people I know from the, you know, internet world, you know, I don't know him personally. It's like, oh, I recognize him. Well, he's kind of recognizable.
Yeah. Does he get... Does he do YouTube cartoons? Am I thinking of Darkman? That's somebody else.
Well, he does have videos that are, or is he with Atheist Experience or something?
I think he's in a lot of the atheist cartoons that Dark Matter 2525 does.
Okay. Actually, I may not be familiar with that.
Oh, those are really excellent.
Okay.
He's scary.
You think if he turns his
arms? He's not scary. He's just
black. Like Mephistopheles.
Oh, that's right. Dan Barker and
Danny Laurie.
Oh,
Madison's own from the Freedom from Religion Foundation.
Okay.
So he let her do most of the speaking. I think that's kind of interesting. It seems that FFRF maybe. Dan Barker is getting a bit more, I don't know. He seems to be more than happy to have Annie Laurie doing some speaking, and then Dan, you know, sat down at the piano and, you know, played some tunes and stuff like
They're
that.
They're an egalitarian couple.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He does a lot of debates. He's very well known who she is.
Yeah, that's kind of what I meant to say. Yeah. So it was nice to see him giving her microphone for.
That's a poet named Victor Harris.
Thank you. I couldn't find my list of people who spoke here. It got too drenched. I think I ended up throwing it away.
Well, I knew since you took pictures of everybody, I figured I better have the whole schedule right here in front of me. So, because I don't recognize all these people, especially entertainer people.
I've used that whole lot.
They were going to have a little video tribute for Hitchens, and it like crapped out after 2 minutes or something. Oh, but I put that picture of the sign in there too.
Yeah.
And actually, this slideshow, because I couldn't get it to integrate this morning in terms of everything together, you're getting a chunk of images first that are like the ones that I shared with organizations, and it's going to repeat and it'll show you more images, about 180 more images. So anyway, if this is going too long, let me know.
So this is Nate Phelps. He's the estranged son of Fred Phelps, the leader of the Westboro Baptist Church. Who possibly were one of the organizers of the counter demonstrators. Sean Faircloth, who formerly was the executive director of the Secular Coalition for America and is now the director of strategy and policy for the Richard Dawkins Foundation.
Liz Cornwell, Dr. Liz Cornwell, she also works for Richard Dawkins Foundation.
She is the executive director. And as far as I know, she is the one who came up with the idea of these A pins that some of you may have seen that I wear on my collar for atheists to come in, the coming out pins.
Fortunately, the color's a little different on the screen, or significantly different, but and on my computer.
There you can see lots of red, white, blue, and yellow ponchos. There's Dawkins himself. He is very, very outspoken lately about the need for atheists to stand up and actually attack religion, which is a place where I kind of part company with him slightly.
Oh, that's a cute sign. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I like that one. Yeah.
They weren't all negative. I mean, you know, the press, of course, you know, would pick, depending on who it was reporting or whatever. This is Christina Rand. She's a video blogger, however you say that.
From Romania.
Romania. Oh. She came all the way from Romania.
If you haven't ever seen her on YouTube, she's really a talented young woman.
Now I'm putting her together with what she does. You see them like this, you don't always associate them with what you're, or how you know them.
Yeah.
This guy calls himself Rational Warrior. Also, he calls himself Tombstone the Dead Man. He also, as you might imagine, has a lot of four-letter words in his, interspersed in his music. That's Herb Silverman, the president of the Secular Coalition for America. That was a great sign.
P.Z. Myers here.
Between Herb Silverman and P.Z. Myers, by the way, they had two video messages. One was from Representative Pete Stark, who, the Democrat from California, who is the only out non-believer in the U.S. Congress.
He's a Democrat.
We have actually identified at least 22 or 23 more, but who do not want to come out. But they have admitted to the Secular Coalition for America that they are non-believers, but will not state so publicly. And the second video tribute was from Senator Tom Harkin, who's from Iowa, also a Democrat and a Catholic, and who we don't agree with on a lot of things. But he had something very interesting to say, so I'll read that. On the Mall, we celebrate America's amazing diversity of ideas, beliefs, and yes, disbeliefs. We also celebrate the freedom, tolerance, non-discrimination, and right of dissent that are enshrined in our Constitution, that define us as Americans and as a truly free people. That is why I welcome to the mall all of my fellow Americans, including those who reject my beliefs, or indeed, those who reject all religious faith.
Good. Wow. That's
great.
Another JFK.
Yeah.
It's
good. So probably those remarks would make Rick Santorum want to throw up.
Yes.
That was Jim Hightower,
wasn't
it? No, that was P.Z. Myers.
It looked like Jim Hightower.
So it's just
That's Ron Lindsay, who's the executive director of the Center for Inquiry. And a bioethicist. That's Eddie Izzard.
Hilarious.
A comedian, an actor. See, I don't know any of these people. If I didn't have this list, I wouldn't know.
Usually he's dressed in drag, so it's hard to
recognize him. Yeah, the mustache?
He's British, too.
He's close to the
puzzle. He's very funny.
I kind of like shooting into the crowd sometimes. I have angles that actually allow me to photograph some of the people on stage, which I thought was kind of
fun. I just posted a quote by him where he said, geez, you know, you think that when we flew to the moon, when we just left the blue ball or the blue thing for the gray planet, you think God would have at least shown up and congratulated us.
That's Roy Speckard, who's the executive director of the American Humanist Association.
What's under those white tarps?
Band instruments for
That's Larry Krause, an astrophysicist.
Does it go by Larry?
Lawrence.
Okay. I've only heard.
I knew a Larry Krause, so I probably call him Larry by mistake.
Oh, I see.
That's Todd Stiefel. He's active in the Secular Coalition for America and was one of the major funding sources for this event. Glenn Beck apparently discovered this event and has been railing about it.
Oh, God.
And he essentially characterized Todd Stiefel as being un-American for daring to provide funding for this rally.
Not that
the Christian right has ever funded anything political.
Now, one thing, I'll just mention this in case, Ron, you didn't pick up on it. I just happened to be in a good position. I was listening to what he was saying. I can't always listen when I'm taking pictures, but, you know, you snap some shots, you figure you got it, and then you can listen again. And then he said something to the effect of, well, you know, he was going on about who he is and what he does. And then he thanked his wife and said something to the effect of, and I couldn't do this without the support of my wife and my family, and my wife is Christian. And I was lucky in that I was standing right in a position where he pointed to her, and that's like their little girl, and like the mother-daughter thing there, I just think is so cool. I got really lucky there.
I told you guys before, you're really lucky to see these pictures Ingrid took, because she's got some fantastic ones. I mean, that's a classic. That deserves to win some kind of a prize.
Oh, there's the instruments.
This is
a group called Bad Religion.
They've been around for a long time.
The front man is called Greg Graffin.
That's Jimmy Hill's sign again. Jamie.
Is he the one? I think he sang the Star Spangled Banner at the beginning, too.
Yeah, he did.
He was the one who sang the Star Spangled Banner.
I want a shirt like that. That kind of sums it all up for me anyway.
So that's the MC, Paul Provenza. And that's David Silverman, the president of American Atheists, who really organized this whole thing.
Look at his finger, how wet it is.
Yeah.
Well, he's really lucky.
It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable how wet it was up there.
Those guys are pretty old to be in a band, aren't they?
Have you seen the Rolling Stones?
Who's that, Carolyn? Once they're 40?
Yeah.
And then over 30. Yeah, it's over 30. And then we all.
I don't know if you can see that red t-shirt that says, "I think, therefore I am an atheist."
I'm just going to say here, this is where, the first 160 images you just saw, it's all going in order. Those were the ones that I picked for the organizations as, you know, previews that I released to them right away. You know, most of them haven't done anything with them, but in any case. And so in the last 24 hours, I went back and I took about 1,500 images. So these are kind of like... I'm sorry?
Did she put together a book?
Yeah, well, I could. I used to put together a lot of wedding albums. And, you know, this is such an event. I mean, I am thinking of maybe doing something like that, but it would be nice to be assured that they're customers or something. Or, I don't know. I mean, I went there at my own expense, and I'm hoping to license some of the images so I can recoup my costs. And, so in any case, yeah, I took lots and lots and lots of pictures. And this was like my second round batch that I went through really quickly. And it's like, oh, this tells part of the story I didn't have before. And this does and this does. So I'll flip through these a little bit more quickly. But this is, again, more of what you just saw, but some things, including more signage. And personally, I find the signage really interesting to photograph. Yeah, kind of like when I've been up at the Capitol and things like that. Very often, you know, when I was covering the protests there just for my own purposes, the signage really, you know, it kind of tells you what people are thinking or, you know, what they're really trying to convey. And it was here too, especially with the press reports being frequently negative, like, oh, you know, these people just all hate religion and yada yada. You know, it's a mixed bag. It's not, you know, we're not a monolithic group by any means, of course. And I think, all right, let me see if I can just get this to go a little bit faster. No, don't do that.
I do think that anti-religious message is not the best one.
Yeah. I mean, I have so many good religious friends, I cannot say, hey, you know, you're
bad people.
You know, I won't mix with you or whatever. So this is set at 2 seconds because this is more images. So this is, again, from the beginning. You see the VIP section here. It's early on. There's not too many people there. Then it starts to fill up.
Those groups were all the major co-sponsors of it.
Yeah, if you want, I can go back to that photograph, maybe. Okay, well, maybe not.
What did that say?
I was an atheist until I realized I was God.
You know,
and that's not far from Mormonism, yeah, in certain respects.
I kind of stared at this kid, and he saw me, and I'm like, is that a pro or con sign? Prospero people, and like you're trying to confuse us as, or, you know.
That's those darn atheists always making you think.
Oh, that's so cute. I've lived life before death.
Yeah, and this one too.
I can't read that one.
I can't read that.
Something incredible is waiting to be known.
It's a powerful thing.
Something incredible is waiting to be known.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, I mean, that. I think that speaks to the more positive, like, you know, we're enthusiastic about science and nature and things of that. You know, that's the sort of thing I personally very much like. And,
yeah, I like that.
That's a good sign.
Slam.
I like the microscope.
That's good. You can change the sign as you go along. It's on the whiteboard.
Yeah. This one's kind of an interesting one. We are not the crazy one.
I like that.
Yeah, I'm debating right now. Like, I've got all these images. I usually don't share gobs and gobs of my stuff on Facebook. But, you know, I'm thinking of doing that with this stuff. And it's like, well, would I include it or not? Or, you know, on the one hand, you know, it tells another part of the story. I think the media isn't covering. This one's kind of like, you know, I think this kind of sums up the frustration that atheists have, my point of view anyway. It's like, look, you know, you people think we're worse than rapists and you wouldn't vote for us and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like, no, we're not the crazy one. Yeah. I mean, but, you know, again, it's kind of like, I don't know.
That's a Dan Barker quote where, you know, you believe in talking snakes and burning bushes and you think I'm the crazy one?
Yeah.
If this is God's message, God is wrong.
No, it's a funny
This one's been going viral around the internet, by the way.
Yeah. I still want to put a word, though, in the very last sentence, because I don't think it makes sense without saying nor marginalize me.
Right. There were several signs that, in spite of the fact that everybody praises reason there, they had some typos and misspellings on their signs.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Which just proves everybody needs an editor.
That's what I'm studying.
You know, like a fig leaf?
Oh!
No, well, it's
a fig tree.
It doesn't produce.
Yeah, he's an atheist. Yeah, he was going out there. He wanted to stand next to the Westboro.
Westboro has
signs that say FIGS stood for something, but I can't remember anymore.
My favorite one like that is God hates facts.
Yeah, there was a sign like that too.
FACTS.
FACTS, yeah.
Yes, it's
fine. Yeah. Along that theme, Adam Savage quoted, I gotta look up his name because I don't remember it right off the bat. He quoted Neil deGrasse Tyson, an astrophysicist, who said, "Facts are true, whether or not you believe them."
Oh, yeah.
It's a sign.
I've got that. Yeah. Here are the little t-shirts, or the t-shirts with the evil little thing.
Oh, yeah.
And the funny thing is, these people didn't know each other, and they didn't know each other, but they were all congregating to have a picture taken together because they all had the evil little thing t-shirt on.
So what's the background on that saying?
That's the what they call the girl.
That's what a state legislator in Rhode Island called her, an evil little thing. After,
and he was a Democrat, too.
She won her lawsuit.
Yeah, maybe he's in sheep's clothing.
What was it?
Maybe he's not so Democratic.
Well, I just think, I think a lot of politicians,
militant
or afraid that there will be backlash if he doesn't identify with believers or something. Yeah. It's really sad because
make a lot of
the stupid part is she actually won her case.
Yeah.
And then somebody comes out and it's like, once you win, it's over, people.
Well, not necessarily if you're an elected official and, you have a disagreement with the bulk of your... Okay, this will explain a little bit. I hope this doesn't look like I'm being critical or anything, but this was right at the beginning of the rally, and this is Dave Silverman of American Atheists.
When he was still dry.
Yeah, he was still dry, and there still weren't that many people around, actually. So, it's kind of like we were a little bit, things started at 10, technically, but, people were told to arrive around 9 o'clock or start arriving. And it didn't look terribly full, and I think he was really a bit nervous. And this is also how I end up taking 1,500 images, because you keep snapping, trying to get a good shot, a good expression on somebody. And he just wasn't very comfortable. But by the end of the day, he was just having such a good time with Paul Provenza. And, they were like buddy-buddy, and they were laughing. It's like much easier to take a good casual shot of him where he's cracking up. But here I think he was kind of worried, so where are the crowds,
Yes.
I'm glad he shaved off his Van Dyke beard. He looked a little bit too much like Satan. He had that beard.
I think Westboro had a photograph or... image of him. Then Penn.
That's Penn Jillette.
Yeah, did a video thing, presentation. He said they had a new contract and he couldn't be there because of that. So
he was very angry in his comments.
He's definitely an angry atheist.
That's him and Meta. By the way, in his blog, The Friendly Atheist, which is pretty widely read among people of our communities, I guess.
Yeah.
He quoted Glenn Beck as saying, "One wonders why the vast majority of outspoken atheists aren't content to operate within a live and let live framework, but rather proactively seek out opportunities to disparage or challenge their ideological opposites." Mm-hmm. Well, it's certainly true that there are a lot of atheists who are like that, so I think you know, Glenn Beck is not making that up. But here's Hemant's response to that. We're all about live and let live. What we're not going to do is stand by while religious ideologues turn their beliefs into public law. We're not going to let our country turn into a theocracy. We're not going to let faulty thinking go by unchallenged. We want absolute separation between church and state. We're ready to fight back.
Yay!
It's important that in Beck's, with a quote from Beck, he assumes that the people on the other side are also ideologues.
Yeah. Well, I would say one of the good things about this whole rally and, you know, what the response to it has been, as I've seen it, is that it now shows, it's out there for everybody to see, like any other broad group of people, we've got an extreme range. You know, we don't all agree, as somebody said before, that we're not a monolithic movement. We do have people that are very, very outspoken and antagonistic. We got lots of other people who aren't. They were not prominent on the podium there, partly because of who the people were selected were, but also partly because of the three religious humanist organizations that are part of the Secular Coalition for America. Not one of the three of them chose to be one of the major sponsors, which would enable you to have your 5 minutes up on the podium. And I was very dismayed on behalf of the American Ethical Union that they chose not to do that. The Society for Humanistic Jews did not do it, and neither did the HUU, UU Humanists, whatever name they go by.
Well, if you gave this before, I apologize. What's the estimate of how many people attended?
20 to 25,000 seems to be the common estimate.
Is there a
some of them were claiming they thought there were up to 30, but and some people were saying there were less than that. But I think probably 20 or so thousand, you know, in that ballpark. This seems probably about right. It's always hard to tell. I mean, I've been at things on the Mall back in the 60s when there were 400,000 people. There clearly was nothing like that there.
We've been there when they said there were 20,000 people, and it was block after block after block of people filling the streets. Yeah. And I was like, 20,000? I don't think so.
I was wondering if they tried to downplay the number, because sometimes parks are an estimate of what they...
You know, in 2003, I think it was, they had Godless March on Washington, and they had something like 3,000 people turn out, and they were not overly excited about the turnout. And it was primarily a white male crowd. This crowd was very, very predominantly not a white male crowd. It was young, it was people of color. It was very, very diverse.
That was really exciting to see.
Really?
Yeah. The fact that we are getting more, that there are more people of color willing to stand up. Because it's, I don't know, did anybody see Chris Hayes' Up program the next morning on MSNBC? He devoted 2 hours to the Reason Rally. He had Dawkins, he had Jamila Bay, he had Susan Jacoby. Pinker. It was excellent. You can probably find it if you go to his show, because I've reposted it on Facebook a couple times. But the discussion was fabulous, and Dawkins said what he said. He said, get in their face. If somebody comes out and tells you that, you know, some politician tells you you're a Roman Catholic, you ask them, do you actually believe in transubstantiation, that you're actually eating the blood and body of Christ? And Chris Hayes apparently is an atheist, but was raised a Catholic, and he was totally opposed to that tactic. So, but then Jamila Bay said, if I'm going to have a candidate that's basically a Mormon that says that my race is the result of, you know, the devil mating with somebody, she said, you betcha I'm going to be in their face. So it depends what your history is you're bringing to the table. But that is a really excellent program if anybody wants to watch that. It's really good.
What was it again?
Yeah. It's called Up with Chris Hayes, and it's on, this was Sunday, he's on, he has a Saturday and Sunday morning program, but this was Sunday morning. It's from, was from 7 to 9 our time. It's on MSNBC, which is the cable station. And it was, he had devoted the entire thing to the Reason Rally and to atheism. Atheism in America is what he called it. But I thought that was amazing that that actually got a full 2 hours of play.
I understand FFRF is having, doing some TV commercials.
They're doing commercials, and they're going to run them on Rachel Maddow's show, too.
Yeah, and I guess it was on, supposed to have been on Meet the Press this morning, and it was on CBS last week.
CBS last week, and I'm on FFRF's Facebook page, and we have gotten, I cannot tell you how many people have found Freedom From Religion Foundation from those commercials. Basically, what they're doing, this commercial is showing JFK and his, you know, I believe in a, in America, that, you know, where the separation of church and state is absolute, and they're, that's what the, basically what the commercial is about.
Could you just put it next to
FFRF?
Santorum?
No, they don't throw the show Santorum. Throw it up. There's no retching sounds in the background. No, they're really well done. They played it on their radio show yesterday.
They end it with a penny that says, "In reason, we trust."
Yeah, and they play like, this is it? America the Beautiful. They play some music behind it. I mean, it's really well done.
Patriotic music.
Yeah, patriotic music.
Good.
So, I'll just mention here, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Well, I was just going to say, so I take this off pause. Some of you had wondered where Westboro was, and, you know, they were like off to the side. And this was a happy accident, actually. I didn't intentionally take this photograph. But my autofocus went to the background instead of to
It's funny, they're by the toilets.
Yeah.
Oh, the sign is porta potty green.
Yeah.
Right. They got to go with the potties. Yeah.
Are those two?
Yeah. Oh, again, happy accident.
Yeah.
You know.
Happy accidents. Are those still two? Take credit for it.
Are those two mounted policemen in the center there?
Yeah.
Yeah. They did. You know, they had police, park service people, or whatever there, and that sort of thing. Things, you know, were being supervised to make sure nothing got out of control.
And I suppose they've strategically placed there, kind of by the where the two groups intersected.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. It was, they wanted, I mean, I went there and I didn't see any, like, altercations or anything, but I heard people having somewhat heated arguments, and some other people described that, yeah, they were, people were getting really into heated arguments. I'm not even sure what the point of arguing with people from Westboro Church is, but,
just gives
you know, it's like, whatever, go, just stay there, okay?
But, appreciate the pressure.
Yeah,
it was interesting. I listened in a bit, and there were several people that felt moved to really start haranguing the counter protesters, and you know, got into these, like, just, you know, overt yelling at each other and nobody listening to anybody. There were a few other people that were actually tried to engage them in some dialogue, which also was pretty fruitless.
like the sign really gets me. You know, when I first saw it, I was wondering whose side it was, whose side the sign belonged to. Because, I mean, if you really study and obey the Bible, you know, maybe you'll do some of the things in Matthew 25, like visit people in prison and clothe the naked and feed the hungry.
Right. How about thou shalt not kill?
Yeah. I mean,
it was a good idea then, it's still a good idea.
It's a good idea.
My computer locked up, so just ignore me. Sorry, I'll get this back here in a minute.
The good news was that they did have enough porta potties. There was never more than one or two people in a line waiting to use one.
So that's the good news in a sense, other than gospel.
Right.
Right. They had their version of the good news. At my age, I had my version of the good news, and not having to wait too long to use a porta potty.
Who paid for all of this? The stage and the lighting and the porta potties and all that.
They raised money from sponsors. They had three or four different levels of sponsorship. But also the Stiefel Foundation, Todd Stiefel's foundation, was a significant underwriter of the whole event. And the guy that she took a picture of that made sure about the buses, for example. But the there were about 10 or 12 organizations that were the major sponsors, and they had their logos up there on that screen.
Yeah, the...
That in between anybody ever being, when there was ever downtime on the podium, which was never long, they had that image up there with all those sponsors. And then all those people got to have a representative speak for 5 minutes or so. So that's why like Herb Silverman and Roy Speckhardt and Fred Edwards and a variety of them were up there, because their organizations were the major sponsors. But then there were a lot of other organizations that sponsored at lower levels. And individual people made donations too, I'm sure.
Is it going to happen again next year? Is this an
annual? No.
Great.
It will not happen again next year. It was an incredible amount of work. It was over a year in the planning. And as more than a few people have observed, you know, it really was a significant event. And if you tried to do it every year or even every other year, it would become less meaningful probably.
Well, I think I prefer the ones like that are happening in Madison, you know, at the end of the month, where they're more, I mean, this is not everybody can travel to Washington, D.C. I mean, if you're in California and whatever, you don't certainly want to get on a bus and drive there. But having a lot more available events that people can attend throughout the country, I think is a lot bigger.
I think that's far more fruitful in the long run for, you know, bringing people in, as you say. Not everybody can go to Washington.
But it's nice to do something every once in a while like this to really give a public face.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
It is. And I think the Secular Coalition for America does plan to have the Lobby Day annually. Mm-hmm. They had one last year in May, was the first one. They had about 100 lobbyists show up last year. They had over 200 this year. As I said, 156 visits scheduled with congressional staffers. So that was pretty impressive, 156. There's what, 435 representatives and 100 senators, and the one representative from the District of Columbia. So
now you had training before that.
Yeah, we had a morning of training to go over, you know, what sort of the protocol for visiting what a congressional staffer is, you know, how you should behave and so on, what you should do. And then also to go over the two things mentioned that were the focus of our lobbying effort. And so they're intending to do that again next year. They gave you all a brochure about the Secular Coalition for America.
It says unlock the computer.
They don't have individual members. Their members are organizations that are part of their coalition. But they do encourage individual supporters and even people to subscribe for their action alerts, which they send out about 10 or 12 times a year when there's something specific in Congress on a church-state issue. That you might be moved to write to your congresspeople about. So you might think about subscribing to that.
How was talking to Ron Johnson's office? How did that turn out?
It was very interesting. He was not overtly antagonistic, but he was definitely challenging. It was definitely challenging talking to him.
Did you ask him to explain his Google comment on birth control?
Who's the lawyer you talked to? Right?
I talked to his counsel.
His counsel.
Yeah. Right.
But I meant, you know, somebody could explain it for him.
No, I didn't ask that.
They had to stick to their topics at hand.
Well, we were allowed to freelance. Like, I mentioned to Tammy Baldwin's staffer that I was a little surprised. We did a congressional scorecard last year on the Congress, not on the Senate, but on the House of Representatives, and identified seven things that there were votes on in Congress that were church-state issues. And she voted what non-theists would call the wrong way on three of those seven issues.
Just think about
now, I know enough about being a politician that I know that a lot of times you vote for things you don't particularly care for because they're part of a package and you have to balance the good and the bad, and sometimes you're voting for things because there's more good than bad, and even though some of it's bad. And sometimes I think that, you know, you can easily overlook something. For example, one of those three things had to do with the giving of some National Forest Service land from a national forest to an Indian tribe for a Boy Scout camp.
Oh, now, this is pretty obscure.
We essentially oppose the fact that the Boy Scouts get a lot of federal privileging because of their status, and they discriminate against gays, they discriminate against atheists. And Tammy Baldwin, who of course is perhaps the only out lesbian in the U.S. Congress, has voted against a lot of things that have to do with the Boy Scouts for that reason. But she didn't pick up on this one thing, and I even said to her staffer, you know, I could understand, because it was this presented as, let's give some national forest land to an Indian tribe, it's like, oh yeah, that sounds good, you know, we've mistreated the Indians so badly over a couple of centuries that, you know, anything we can do to help them out now is good. And the thing about the fact that it was going to be used for a Boy Scout camp was maybe like lost in the shuffle of what it was about.
It's her job to know.
Sorry. It is her job to know. Well, it's her staffer's job to point those things out
to
her.
And
she is, as I say, she has, you know, she has come out against a lot of things that have been proposed to give the Boy Scouts certain things that...
I wish we'd stop making the president of the Boy Scouts.
Right.
Another good place to stop.
We actually, somebody in one of the organizations, or maybe it was the Secular Coalition, wrote Obama after he was inaugurated and asked him to renounce that position. He didn't respond, of course, and he didn't do it either.
Did someone take a picture of you, Edward?
Yeah, well, I thought I would, okay, these are the images that Ron took, and there are two that were taken by a friend of mine who I've run into at, like, skeptical events like the Amazing Meeting and so on, and he's also a really good photographer, and so we've struck up a friendship, so we take pictures of each other sometimes.
Photographer.
Yeah, I know. So this is me when I'm still kind of dry. I didn't care for the picture very much, but it's better than this one.
Yeah, but this really captures the spirit of the day.
Yeah. So anyway, so these are some of Ron's pictures here. And Ron, I'll just flip through them without going into that fuzzy program again, if you don't mind. This is from the lobby workshop day.
This was during the training session.
Training session.
For the lobby day, right. This is the little girl that took the picture on the subway that I told you you'd get to see her sign. Even I know fairy tales aren't real.
Yeah, they had some rather strange things like this. I didn't know what to make of. I mean, it's like a big mock-up of Jesus, I guess, or something, you know, puppetish. There are so many things there. I couldn't catch them all. I mean, I didn't get that person.
Those are the sponsors on the screen?
Yep, those are the sponsors. I wonder if I can zoom in here with this program.
That's okay.
But, yeah, it's...
Oh.
A little bit.
Well, you know, don't overdo it.
That's close. That's every cell.
I usually don't use it that way. So that's
so those are the major sponsors. I think it was $25,000 to be a major sponsor.
$25,000?
So you can see United Coalition of Reason right there in the middle, American Humanist Association, the Secular Student Alliance.
And even the JRF gave.
The smaller ones down in the bottom may have been lower priced.
Yeah,
I think they were.
Huh. Interesting.
FFRF usually has separate fundraisers to raise money for their, like their New York Times ad. They raise that money in like 4 days, $52,000 to put their ad in the New York Times.
Wow.
And they're collecting money for all this, the television ads they're doing too. It doesn't come out of their subscribers' money.
I see.
So that same woman was in the picture that Ingrid took with four people wearing the evil little thing shirts. But I took this both because of her sign and the fact that she was wearing the shirt. So, because of course I wasn't coordinating with Ingrid at the time.
That means now she's a national celebrity because two different people have a picture.
That's the definition.
And just if people are curious, yes, actually I did bother to get a press pass. You do get much better pictures so that like people who have press passes, you could actually be behind the wall there and stuff like that. So otherwise, I you would have had to have been a VIP person to have had position with me. So
did you get free coffee?
No.
This is all the people that came down from Baltimore, from the Baltimore Ethical Society, gathered together behind their banner, and I got a picture of them. And some of them were volunteers, the ones wearing, the two wearing those yellow t-shirts behind the sign, that you can just see the yellow at the top, not the woman in the yellow poncho. They were volunteers there. The Washington Area Secular Humanists, the Baltimore Secular Humanists, the Baltimore Coalition of Reason, they were like the major organizers of the volunteer effort. And there were like a huge, huge number of volunteers there to just help with everything. Like Kathleen, the woman in the yellow t-shirt, she was tapped to, they were just tapped for anything that was needed. So a photographer, video photographer from Al Jazeera had showed up and didn't have a press pass. So she took him, and it was weird, the press credentials were in the tent that was all the way in the back where the exhibits were. So we were all the way up at the front, and she took him, and it started pouring right after they left. So she got drenched walking all the way back to the tent with him to get him his press pass. So I haven't done any research yet to see what kind of coverage Al Jazeera gave to this.
Yeah, well, they were the first.
But I do know they had a journalist there with a video camera, because I saw him.
Yeah.
The first things that I heard coming from the Friesen rally were from Al Jazeera. They had it out there right away.
Yeah, I don't know if people want to have it seems like you're maybe wanting to wrap up but I can set this on play.
It's closing time.
Okay, well, I'll just let the slideshow keep going. It's kind of a recap of what you saw before. You know, I think I did take the strongest images out there first, but there's just a few more things, a few more shots that Tim mentioned, and I don't know, reactions. Actually, here's one thing I'll just, all right.
This is funny.
They had people signing the entire time, and they had like 3, 4, or 5, women coming up there taking shifts signing. It was really actually very funny. I mean, I hope nobody's offended by this, but if you would have been there, you would have been exposed to this regardless. She was signing for Tim Minchin. So of course, Tim uses the F word a lot. So the very funny thing to me anyway is that she started to laugh. I mean, it's kind of like, it's like this was really at the end of it, like they had this bonding photo. Oh, he was in the Washington Post. They did an article, and he was like one of the people who was, they had a photograph of him. He's from Appleton. I don't remember his name anymore, but it's like, oh my gosh, that's a guy whose picture I saw in the Washington Post. So yeah, the Washington Post covered it pretty well. Michael Shermer sitting in the background. Tim Minchin again doing Storm, the poem, the 10-minute tone poem. So anyway, P.Z. Myers. So, and this is a film crew, actually, that has been following Randy around for the last year and a half or something like that, and they're coming out with a film called The Honest Liar, which is going to be really good. But anyway, there's Tim Minchin and his sign person, Rhonda. she really did get a kick out of it.
Yeah, so.
But I can understand why some people were upset with the number of F-bombs and so on that were being dropped, and,
she was a real trooper for having to translate his stuff.
Well, she didn't seem to mind it. Maybe
no,
later,
she didn't.
That's Bruce who took the pictures of me. So.
That's your picture.
So yeah, we're kind of chums at this point.
Really,
we do that to each other. But yeah, it was actually pretty interesting. I mean, I've been to a couple of the TAMPs now and I've done photography there, and and just through other activities, you start to really run into the same people here and there. I mean, I ran into a friend of mine, Corey Albrecht, who's from Canada, actually, and he came to the Reason Rally, and then there was Bruce, and then, you know, there were a couple people I was supposed to meet up with and that I never managed to meet up with, even though we had each other's cell phone numbers. Then there were other people where it's like, oh, hi, how are you? You know, you haven't seen them since the last, you know, big event. So there is a lot of overlap between kind of the skeptical and atheist community, and once you start getting into that, you slowly begin to get to know people, so. But yeah, I mean, the sense of community was definitely there. I mean, I think everybody walked away with it from the event, being really energized and jazzed, and so we'll see what happens from here. I liked her sign a lot.
She came prepared. It was covered in plastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she got big. She got big. The color does not represent for some reason, the projector is not being true to color, but anyway.
She got high fives on that, because I can't remember who it was that published all the, like, 35 of the best signs.
Oh, yeah.
She got really high scores.
Yeah.
She's cute.
Yeah, that's it. She's a redhead guy.
Yeah. Oh, she's smiling, and she doesn't have an angry sign. She has a nice sign, like, hey, we're good, decent people. You know,
we're donating atheist blood to you.
Right. You should know
it'll
where
turn
the
you
from, shouldn't you? These were students, you know, they said, and who's a student here? It's like, yeah. So they were all also very enthusiastic Dawkins supporters. Jamila again. And
looks like the big Reason Rally sign was by Dawkins, because he's got the big blurb in the back. It's got Richard Dawkins, it's got the Dawkins Foundation.
Oh, yeah, it's
top.
Right above.
Yeah. Above it.
There's that film crew again. Very nice guys.
Well,
you're getting the idea. Oh, Bill Maher appeared by video, but not by anything beyond that. So.
Yeah, and he didn't even do a video for it. He just sent a clip of one of his shows from like 2 weeks earlier.
Yeah, some people were disappointed about that. There are some. This is the Hitchens tribute, which kind of crapped out after 2 minutes or something, but, you know, I got a couple of screenshots since obviously is a very missed person at this rally. So, anyway, the rest you've kind of seen before. These are just additional things where this morning I started to pull things. Sense of humor was definitely there.
Bags.
Yeah, it stands for something.
Oh.
I don't know what, but...
Okay.
So, this was a good thought.
Alaska, K-E... What does that say?
Yeah, it says cadaver.
Oh, that's the one of the curse words.
It's like abracadabra.
Alaska, cadaver.
Cadaver.
Oh, okay.
Cadabra. Alaska, cadaver. So yeah, anyway, there were lots and lots and lots of people there. Yeah, I think it did exceed people's expectations. Again, things started a little bit slow. You know, people were maybe trickling in from the East Coast on trains or something. And, you know, at first, Dave Silverman seemed a little bit tentative or something, but by the end of it, it's kind of like, you know, he and Paul Provenza were hugging and, you know, they were just like, you know, practically high-fiving each other and stuff like that. That's Pete Stark. Unfortunately, that screen photographed really poorly. It just would do this, and then Tom Harkin with their video clips, and there's P.Z. Myers again. And yes, the hat actually is reminiscent of Jim Hightower, isn't it?
Yeah.
With the facial hair,
too. Yeah, you've seen one guy in a 10-gallon hat.
And a beard.
And Eddie's just very expressive, but he really had people cracking up, including people backstage, Sean, you know, I just like taking little snippets like that. So, anyways, they get the idea. More signing, being very. Oh, yes.
No, that's
the way. What we were doing to press, of course, it lost stuff again. But yeah, this is what they were doing to prep, you know, the floor.
Yes.
So that the band could get on there with all their equipment and cables and stuff, and they were, you know, squeegeeing off the floor, and that's
nice stuff, actually.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Thank you very much.
There you go.
Thank you.
our eyes.
Sure thing.
Can I give you one more quote? David Silverman wrote a thank you note to all the volunteers, and my friends in Baltimore shared it with me. The reason rallying was a thing of beauty on many levels, and I believe that we achieved our primary goal of impacting the movement on a national level. On behalf of the entire secular movement, I thank you all for being a part of reasonable history.
Anybody who hasn't already checked the freethoughtfestival.org website, check it out. You'll see what's coming to Madison last weekend in April.
Yeah.
And the speakers there will have half an hour, not 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And the four major speakers get 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So.